Okay, let's begin. So I'd like to still finish something as a kind of a follow-up of the recent GTCA activities. Now, really, this so-called GTCA can only be carried out by the God-ordained way. This is the new way, the right way. And that way, as you all know, just to refresh your understanding, begins with the matter of begetting. Begetting. That means to bear fruit, to bear spiritual children by our preaching the gospel to them and regenerating them with the life of God. So, and this step, these four steps are not distinct steps. They are steps in tandem, and in fact, I would even say they are steps in parallel. They're steps in parallel. So, for sure, once you have preached the gospel and you've gotten someone saved, immediately the second step will kick in, right away, right away. And that would be the step of nourishing or feeding these new ones, like a babe, right? So that they can grow. And of course, there's so much to talk about that. And in fact, that's related even to the family training that I'm going to say something about. So, as far as this current GTCA move is concerned, now the churches all have some new ones in their hands, right? Maybe not a phenomenal number, but there's a good number. Some are more open than others, and some are more hungry than others. Nevertheless, they're there. And this is always the right way. That means we, when it comes to the gospel, which is a spreading of the seeds. This is Matthew 13. You do so indiscriminately. No farmer would think for an hour then drop a seed, okay? You just sow the seed as widespread as you can, and many will not come up, or, you know, only 25% in that parable actually made it. And that is quality out of quantity, which is always the principle. So we just speak to everyone with boldness. We just talk about, and I have even more to say to the saints about just opening their mouth. Without worry, will this one be saved? Will this one come into the church? You don't open your mouth with those questions. You open the mouth just to open the mouth. Amen. And giving them the chance and opportunity to hear the word. Amen. How that word will go does not depend on you at that moment. Otherwise, Billy Graham would not speak to so many people, okay? He just speak to, in fact, he was a little too open, inclusive, you know. He would work with modernists. He would work with a Catholic Church. He doesn't care as long as the gospel is preached. So as far as an evangelist goes, that's the right heart. It's a very big heart to love all humanity. But it's a little bit too broad. We don't work with Catholic Church, right? We don't work with modernists to carry out the gospel. But the principle is right. The churches, we should be, I mean, we should blanket this country with the recovery version. You say, well, the next thing they get it is they put it in the bookshelf. Some even use it for toilet paper. Well, I don't care. I don't care. There was a video some time ago, some years ago, of a man who got the recovery version. He taped himself, and it got on YouTube, of him systematically tearing the recovery version apart. I don't know what's the point. But anyway, well, I'm happy. At least he has a recovery version to tear apart. Someone, after he throw it away, maybe the garbage man will pick one up, and he would... You see, saints, don't be be generous. When it comes to gospel preaching, we must have a huge heart, be generous to speak to all men and not be selective. Oh, this one won't be saved. That's not a good material. He's too fat. Brothers, if you do it this way, you won't preach the gospel. All right? But anyway, we will cover that. Now, we need that recovery. Now, having preached the gospel and having saved some and even make contact with some seekers and open ones, then immediately the follow-up kicks in. So this is an area I'm sure you're already striving to enter into, and I have no time to talk about this matter on feeding people by visitation, what we call home meetings, by spending regular time with them. The sooner the better, because contacts grow cold very quickly, very quickly. So within 24 hours, you have to contact them again. Now you have text, right? You have email. That's technology we can really use to expedite immediate fresh contact with them. It could mean death or life just within 72 hours, really. So that's labor, and that's part of the work, and we need to build up the saints in this way. And this is my point, brothers. I tell you, in the long run, what bears fruit, remaining fruit in our gospel work, is not just some excitement. It's exciting, you know, these events. Wow, we have so many new ones. No, the way to successful long-term fruit-bearing is what? Is persevering care. It's regular care. It is what? It is frequent contact. That's the only way I know how. And this is where saints would give up. After one contact, no one answer, they give them up. No. This is where we need to be what they call the heavenly hound. We need to be dogged. Is that the word? We need to be just, we won't let them out of our sight, even when they say no, to be a pest, right? Dick Taylor always mentioned pest. It's prophet, evangelist, shepherds, and teachers. Pest. I tell you, only this way is successful. The burden is on us, not on them. I would like to recommend some chapters in the first part of the book, The Practice of the Church Life According to the God-Ordained Way. A wonderful book. The whole second half is on prophesying. Prophesying, so not that part. The first part, where he spent a couple of chapters to give a final conclusion to the rebellion in the late 80s. These messages were given in 1993 to the FTTA trainees. And there would be a few chapters specifically on the preaching of the gospel and the bearing of fruit, the first step of the God-ordained way. And so Brother Lee repeatedly make this point. And there's another book called, especially for us, it's called The Eldership and the God-Ordained Way. What is that name? Those are messages that are in this series, but it's in this series, in one of these books, but it is pulled out, extracted from there, and put into a book of two messages. The Eldership and the God-Ordained Way. Okay, find that. That is a specific speaking to the elders, how they should practice the God-ordained way and to be a pattern, and then to lead the saints into this as well. So, brothers, here's the point. Set your heart for the long-term care. Build up in yourself and in the saints, just in a very legal way, if I may say so. Legal. You know, life is about legality. That's the only way to be healthy. If you eat when you want to eat, you will not be healthy. The more legal in that sense, the more healthy you are. It really means what? Discipline. Am I right? Life is a healthiness is a matter of discipline. Okay, so you yourself start and help the saints and change the church life in a way that today, you know, going to meetings is standard fare for us. You know, we don't even think twice. We just do it. Well, this has to be built up just like a meeting. That is 1 to 2 hours a week. That's all. What day, what time? Build up every saint, or at least a good percentage of the saints, 50% of your saints, 30% of your saints. Just separate 1 to 2 hours a week to what? For the gospel. That means to go out to preach the gospel or pass out tracts or write to their friends or just contact people. And after you have some contacts and acquaintances and new ones, to visit them in their home. Visitation, even in this very private culture of ours, is still a gesture, a very warm gesture that someone really cares for you. So 1 to 2 hours a week for the Lord, for the gospel, should be a healthy church life, part of a healthy church life. Don't look down on this. Because 1 to 2 hours immediately means regularity. It means frequency, okay? It means a kind of discipline. We trust this work rather than a week of just lots of activities and then you wait for till next year. That's not the way to bear fruit. Okay? I mean this, brothers. This is a training, okay? You have to do it. You cannot just, it's great. Please do it. Please build up a new habit, personal habit, and then help the church, the saints, to build up a new habit. All right? Now, the second thing, saints, brothers, is this, that this kind of contact is must be personal, now, there may be two of us caring for a new one. That twos and threes, that's okay. But in the end, that new one has to identify someone as their daddy or mommy, right? That one-on-one, when everything dies, I'm still here. That kind of thing. They can count on you. They know the source of their life. They know the source of their supply. That kind of real love and care in a personal and an intimate way is a must. So whatever appointments, whatever time, that kind of care. So Paul, that I would teach every man, and I would exhort every man and present every man full grown in Christ. You must underline the word every man. Paul might have preached the masses, but Paul's actual work is very fine. It's one man at a time. And he visited the houses in Ephesus for 3 years. So that kind of labor, personal, frequent, regular, one-on-one labor is the way we have to do it and help the saints to do that. At the right time, we bring them to the small group, right? We even bring them to some gospel meeting, or we. But especially with the typical Americans, don't bring them to the meetings so quickly, especially church meetings on Lord's Day. Sometimes even if they ask for it, you will not bring them because they could come and get blown away just because of the way we meet and so on. So you got to have wisdom to build them up, build up the relationship to a certain point, before you do that. That means patience, brother. brothers. Patience. Okay. Even the bathtub baptisms that become so prevailing are, I think, in the long haul, we do less and less of that. We may do it because it's convenient, but not because it's quick. You know, in those days, mystery of human life, prayer, bathtub. In 1987, we did that in Southern California in a training. Several 4,000 saints went out for 1 week in the training. We baptized 4,000 people. Almost not one stayed. Okay? That should convince us. So that one. Then finally, the last word I want to give you is, because of this, you have to not be deterred by obstacles, by pushbacks, by problems. This is why the word perseverance is so important, a kind of tenacity that we all need to gain people, to gain people. So if you're so easily defeated, so easily disappointed because of no show, because of this, then you're not in the right frame of mind to care for people. It's like raising up children. You just don't look at them having a temper tantrum and kick them out of the house, right? It's a long project, and there's going to be up, there's going to be down, and in the end, you gain people that way. So all this are spoken in those messages in the book I just mentioned to you. Now, brothers, we cannot get into the details. This is a great, great matter we need to build up. Now, one final thing is in the God-ordained way, brotherly charge us to build up one step at a time. I did say it is parallel. Parallel when it's built up, it's parallel. But now in Northern California, we are beginning anew with this God-ordained way. So let us stay with step one. Let us build up the gospel spirit. Let us build up with more going out, more contacting of people, the prayer, the fellowship of the gospel. Permeate your church with such a gospel spirit and atmosphere. I tell you, over time in these years of winter, we have become a bit of a group of people that love to do navel gazing. Do you know navel gazing? Chinese, do you know navel gazing? You just gaze at your navel. That means you are just completely self-absorbed with your own problems. How am I doing? Am I an overcomer? You know what I mean? When people are dying out there, people are drowning out there. Am I growing in life? Okay, I'm not saying we should not be concerned with our growth. I'm not saying we should not want to be an overcomer. But you can get into that kind of mindset, and that dictates your Christian life. Brothers, we need to lift up our eyes. That's the Lord's word in John 4. Am I right? Behold, the fields are white and ready for harvest. Brothers, look up. I tell you, when the saints look up and see other people and take care of their problems, they will be released from themselves, liberated from their own self-absorption. And this millennial generation is characterized by self-absorption. Too much navel-gazing, right? Amen?
Amen.
Tell the saints, if they go preach the gospel, get people saved, they will grow in life. They will really grow in life. They will have milk in their breasts, right? Because now you have a child, so your breasts are full of milk. You are really growing. So work on that. Take time to build this up. Now, we must come now with the remaining time to this whole matter of this next phase of training in the Bay Area. Now, this is a very important. I'm very peaceful about it, and actually I'm quite just strengthened by the thought of it, that we the Lord is leading us to do this. Now, what's the point? The point is that to afford as many saints as possible in the churches. Again, not everyone, but as many as possible. In the general church life, without selection, without this kind of thing, just for all the saints, the opportunity to also be perfected or trained for the church life. Everything needs training. Even to have a good family, you need to be trained. And if you're not trained, you probably don't know how to run a family or manage a household. The more you're trained, the more you have the skills. You know how to do things in a proper way. So really, the saints need training. Then you say, well, we have trainings already. We have semi-annual. We have, you know, whatever. Well, just like we brothers, we already have iteros twice a year. Why do we need this 72 lessons on eldership? I think by now you see there's a difference. The iteral trainings are more directional, more visionary, more on truth and life. These trainings are more on actual how to administrate a church, right? How to be an elder, how to be the right person, and how to have elders' meetings, how to build up a local church. So it's much more practical, much more related to practice. Well, the same thing here. In this training I'm talking about, this is not, at least now, this round of training for the saints, general saints, is not merely a training in truth, nor is it merely a training in life. I would like to say this is a training in the practice of the church life. In fact, the lessons, here I have it, is called, right here, and all the material here, it's called Basic Lessons on the Proper Church Life, with 12 modules and 3 lessons per module. Now, you may say, whoa, we've been around, we know what the church life is. I am not so sure. I'm not so sure you have a 360 view of what a church life is constituted with, much less the saints, much less the saints. You may, after going through these lessons, realize your church life is a 40% church life. You miss another 60%. You didn't know even it exists or that it's important. I believe today many saints may be that way. Plus, over the years, we have new ones that have come in who have never learned these things or in one place, you know, receive some help in these matters. So this kind of broad-based training, I believe, again, would build yet another platform. Amen. Of what? So that the local churches can be the right vessels to contain the Lord's coming blessings. Amen. If your church life is leaky, if your church life is full of cracks, if your church life is not proper, what are you bringing people into? Even we ourselves are not satisfied, you know? So we are here to build up the proper and prevailing church life everywhere. And so now for this training, unlike the eldership training, it won't be me just speaking to hundreds of saints. It will be rather me speaking to you, this group of brothers, and you going back to your locality or your cluster of churches to carry out that training. Hence, this is a next step. Hence, this is a next step. So this is what will happen. So there are altogether 36 lessons here, covering all the facets of the church life. And each month, we aim to cover one module. That means 3 lessons, okay? And I would come up here, just like I did before, once a month, to have a time like this, okay, in some place, and to walk through those three lessons with you. But not just to give you a message on the lessons, but to walk through with you to help you how to present those lessons. In other words, I'm here to train the trainers. Now, this is big. By doing this, brothers, I hope that we can accomplish two very important things. Number one, that there would be a group of brothers, and I especially am thinking about the younger brothers, through this exercise will be perfected in the ministry of the word. Now, I don't mean when I say that I'm preparing you to speak in Anaheim on the podium, but I am speaking about this very, very important ministry and service. The word ministry means service, okay? This important service in the local churches of what? Of supplying the saints by way of teaching, by way of the word. I'm going to say something more about this, of course. Please, this is not to make us all some great speakers or prophets. If the Lord have given you a portion like that, that's up to the Lord. That's up to the Lord. But that's not our aim. Our aim is to have many brothers who are qualified in the local churches to be, Paul said, good ministers of Christ Jesus, being themselves nourished by the good teaching. They are able and apt to teach and exhort the saints on a, what? On a regular church life. This means a lot to the building up of a local church. In fact, I would like to say something. Although today we practice prophesying, all saints speak, right? On Lord's Day. Many churches are lacking. The church is not strong and solid because they lack certain local ministry of the word. Not in a 1.5-hour way, but in a 10-minute way, in a 15-minute way, to meet the current need of a local church by way of certain practical ministry. That's what we need. We need many brothers in the churches who are able to do that, and for that, you need training. You need training. I was in Eldon Hall, a kid, meaning I was going to school at USC. And in those days, we don't have prophesying. We just give testimonies, right? And let me tell you, I am, from the beginning, I just have this something within me to speak in the meetings, to testify. Oh, the butterflies, the heartbeats, the fear, the cold sweat, all comes. You think today, looking at me like, come on, Minoru, you're pulling our leg, you know. I don't see any beads of sweat on you. You're just kind of, you can speak like this. No, it was not that way. But I cannot deny that there's something within me of a burden. And so I learned to speak. Not only to speak, I learned to speak properly as much as I could, right? I'm just saying that from my youth, you know, in the church life, I always have a aspiration or burden to minister something to the saints, the word to the saints, for the building up, right? For the building up. But it is a process. Even if you have a gift, it is a process. So, brothers, set your heart to learn. Whether you have this gift, that gift, set your heart to learn. And this training is affording you that opportunity. And I'm going to be here. In fact, some of the training, I will get you to go up. Yeah, no. And I'm going to critique. No, no, I'm serious. That's the way to learn. Then you go back and practice ministering to the saints, and you will learn by doing a lot. And you learn from each other, too, right? How wonderful if the churches are full of brothers who have this ability, this aptness, this aptitude. That is one of the qualifications of an elder in the Word. All right. So that is the other burden. So do you see the twin burdens of this, killing two birds with one stone, so to speak? So we get the training at another level, and the saints will get the trainings from you with the help of these lessons. All right? Now, how you're going to do it in the locality, you have a whole month to fellowship. The co-workers, the leading brothers, and the local brothers, you'll have to consider what is the best way. I would like to suggest that you would not conduct such training, these lessons, in the way we did for those 2 years. That means pack three messages into 4 hours. Let me tell you, by the end of the first message, they are already up to here. The last two messages, it's just sounds and words. It's called information overload. I'm looking at these wonderful outlines. I'm still thinking about between now and then, I will still pare them down some more. I will shorten them some more. I'm more interested in the saints getting it than just passing on some abundance of knowledge, which is really not the burden of this training. It's really the practice. Okay? All right. Now, so I would suggest, this is not to tell you what to do, but just principle, that you would do it on a weekly way. One lesson a week, just like the elders' training, right? 1 week, I'm here, then the rest of the 3 weeks in your locality, one lesson a week. When? I don't know. Some churches considering using part of the Lord's Day morning when most of the saints are there. That's one way to look at it. Some others may want to do it on a special time, even at the cost of some saints not being able to make it. Some saints may want to do that. Some may even want to use their prayer time, you know, the prayer night, just shorten the prayer for that week or those weeks. You know, when Brother Lee was doing trainings to build up the church in L.A., when he was in town, prayer meetings are all canceled. We have no prayer meetings. The prayer meetings are turned into training meetings. So three nights in Eldon, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, were all brotherly speaking. No prayer. Is that, do you really believe we don't pray? Of course we pray. Brotherly actually say this, I forgot to mention earlier, concerning Eldon. He said, what is the most memorable to him about Eldon was the praying spirit in that church. He was right. That is key to the revival. But anyway, my point is, some of you may want to use that or another evening. So this training is not one-on-one. This training is with a group of saints, or with the entire church, brothers and sisters. Okay. For this training, this one, I would like to still see registration.
Amen.
This one. Not today, but starting next month. We'll give you the dates. There will be online registration, and we will adhere to all the rules and regulation like the last one for this, because I need commitment. We need commitment from you.
Amen.
This is not a playing around, come and go. This is a very serious training. Okay, so that's for this. But for the saints, no. No need for registration, no ticking of attendance. Then you say nobody will come. I don't think so. I think there will be those who will come. And depending on how you promote it, and it depends also whether your training is attractive or not. When I train, everyone comes. When you train... So don't blame the training, blame you, right? See, brothers, you need to learn as leaders in your church because you know the saints. You know what's best. You also need to do things for their benefit, and this is surely for their benefit and for the benefit of the entire church. So find a way to make it work, to profit as many saints as possible. Okay. So I hope that is clear. Let me just pause for just one moment. You have some questions even on this matter? I'm not talking about, just so far what I said. You have a whole month to fellowship. What? Some nearby churches can cluster. Even when you cluster, it's good for some saints to hear some other brother from another locality speak to them because they got tired of you, you know? some movement of speaker and some exchange is good. The material is the same. The main thing is the delivery of the burden and that. And of course, we would very much, as part of this training, the saints won't just come and listen to a message like that because it covers practice so that they would have a week also to digest and slowly practice these things. Okay? Yes?
Do you have any suggestions how long each training or each lesson should be?
You're talking about with the saints?
Yeah.
I would say that it's going to vary a little bit depending on the length of the lesson and stuff like that. But I really think the speaking, let's say the speaking part, should not be like me, this hour and a half. I think really maximum 30 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depending, on the material. And that's why I need to walk you through. I'm going to cover a lesson. Well, I'll cover all three lessons per time when we meet. And we'll cover one lesson, and I will immediately give you an assignment. Okay, Jacob, come up with a one-sentence focus of this lesson that I just walked through. It's not written down. You tell me. And I'll ask another brother, John, what is your focus? Then together, we will come up with a focus of the lesson. That focus is the soul of that message. Now, if you go back today to the books called Basic Lessons on Life, Basic Lessons on Service, you'll find underneath Brother Lee has a focus line. I think so. There's a just focus, meaning that's the heart of the message. If you forget everything, get that point, right? Of course, those messages are more on truth, more on life. This is a little bit more in practice, but the principle is the same. Okay? So, whether there should be testimonies or some sharing, that's up to you how long of a time you have. I think the whole gathering, the whole thing, could be like a class in school or in university. Typical class is 50 minutes, and it could be shorter than that, 45 minutes, right, without any particular rushing. But the person who speak and take care have to do enormous work. Mm. And that's the whole point. Mm-hmm. I want to put the burden on the brothers to now learn how to labor in the word. Amen. The more you prepare, you know, President Reagan, he's a great communicator, right? He famously said, for a long speech, I don't need much time to prepare. But to give a 5-minute speech on TV, I mean, you have to spend a lot of time to prepare for 5 minutes. You see the point? So the more the labor, the more concise and the more focus is the burden. But you have to labor on that for the sake of the saints. And the saints would take their time to unpack those things in their own kind of digestion or, review. Any other questions? Yes.
So are these meetings able to be streamed to the
department? Yes, I believe so. Those, like the training, I think, am I right? Or like last year, the elders meeting, those who could not come due to distance and things, other reasons, will make arrangement. But as much as possible, I feel being physically together like this is very important.
Amen.
Pay a price once a month to be here Saturday morning. Yes?
So we're in the Church of Pleasant Hill, we're still fellowshipping the exact details of how we'll carry it out.
Mm-hmm.
So we may on Lord's Day set apart some time to speak on the message to all the saints.
Yeah.
But then a part of that will be the Wednesday night, we have a meeting specifically for the working saints where we all come together.
Okay.
So I've been promoting this to the working saints.
Yeah.
We're going to go through this. And I asked them, how do you feel if we would, when we started this training, if we would enter into these lessons?
Yeah.
So one of the questions of one of the saints was, would this be something that would be good if we brought our friends over or some new ones?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't responded to that question yet. So I think now is a good place to find a response.
The answer is yes, with a caveat, and that is it depends on where the new one is. If he's too young, again, you can blow them out. But if they are really at the point to know the church life, yes. These messages are general in that sense. But you really have to be very exercised on. But the point being, it's not selective. And we want to benefit as many people as possible. And if you have the burden that even besides that one time in a week with the church, to take that material and use it in your small group, feel free. The more you repeat this, the more you get into the bloodstream of the church. You see the point? The first lesson, you'll be surprised, is morning revival. How about that for the church life? Then we're going to talk about companionship, what you call vital group. I don't want to just use that term, but the companionship, the twos and threes. We're building up the church structurally in an organic way, right? Anyway, you'll see. Yes? I don't know if in these lessons there are questions or what. Let me take a quick look here. It's typical with an outline and then with a some excerpts. And then, yes, just like the eldership training, there would be practical application. Look, so this is lesson one. It's called Becoming a Vital Person. Isn't that the basic A1 church life? Okay, so practical application. One, set apart a daily time to spend with the Lord to be revived, preferably first thing each morning. Practice the first step in the exercise of the Spirit to call upon the name of the Lord and to pray, and to breathe deeply, confessing. B, practice the second step to pray, read the Lord's Word. 2, have a specific and thorough time with the Lord to pray concerning the 5 elements in the way to be vital. Then there's some further reading. Do you see this? Now, you may say, this is way too simplistic. I'd like to know how many saints are truly revived. I really question in the churches. So don't take any of these things for granted, as they are too basic. They are essential, step by step. So, brother, assignment in the form of this kind of practice. You have to bring the saints into this mood or this idea that's not just listening to messages. It is to apply them in a daily life. Yeah?
Since it is cumulative, how do you suggest we bring, you know, if there are new ones who want to join, even though we've already...
So don't worry about it. Whenever they come in, they come in. Whichever train station they get into the train is fine. No. Don't worry. I think if this lesson turned out to be useful, you can do it again. 2 years from now, another batch of new ones, you see? Then we're really systematically building people up. Yes. Yes. Everything would be given to them. And of course, you will get this a month prior. So you have a whole month to prepare for your training.
We're not going to get the actual outlines until a month from now, right?
Yeah. So today we're not starting.
But we need to prepare. So that means as soon as we get it, we've got to be ready to turn them around again.
I think we will give it to you next time in April.
Yeah, in April.
And when we meet. Then the first training with the saints will be in May.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We decided this.
I'm not going to jump right in.
Yeah, we decided. Because many churches are still not clear yet how to practically implement this training. So we're giving you another month to do that.
I have another question regarding this for our training here. For example, there's this one brother in Roseville. He's a very dear brother. We'd love to have him here, and he'd love to be here. But he's like a master mechanic for Nissan, and he's required to work every Saturday every other month.
Yeah.
So is there a way that he could?
Yeah, absolutely. I think these will be taped, and they're being taped.
Oh, good. So he'd be able to make it up
them accessible.
Great.
Okay. All right. So now I'd like to use the remainder of the time to say something about your training. That means now I'm not talking about the saints, I'm talking about us here, okay? I'd like us to read some verses together. And they're all in the Timothy's. This is about the best books on the matter of why we need this kind of a training here. Okay, so let's start with 1 Timothy. Chapter 3, and verse 2, let's read together. The overseer then must be without reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, of a sober mind, orderly, hospitable, apt to teach. So we covered actually all these things in our previous training. But again, obviously, my emphasis here is the last phrase, and that would be apt to teach. Now, Brother Lee has spoken too much concerning this kind of teaching in the local churches by the elders or by the leading brothers. And here in the footnote, it says teaching here. I'm now defining what kind of teaching we're talking about. This is not the seven feast type of teaching. This is not that level. This is, okay, it says here, teaching here is similar to parents teaching their children. An elder must be apt to render this kind of home teaching to the members of a local church. All right? So this is what we're aiming at. Home teaching, just like a mother, he needs to know the math to some degree to teach the children in their homework, and the dad to teach them about ethics and morality. Am I right? Character building. These are home teaching, basic teaching. That's, sorry to say, I find lacking in many local churches. The elders did not do that job. They just go through Holy Word. They just sell the books. They just make announcements. They are not parents. They did not render parental teaching to the saints to help them to grow up properly. And that's why many saints don't have a good education in spiritual things. That's lacking. And it is the elder's job or the leading brother's job to do that. Very, very important. Okay? All right. So that is one. You say, what about deacons? You know, what about deacons? Well, I would say, even though it's not such a clear word as here, as to the elders, but you can see, even with the deacons, there's a talking about they need to hold the mystery of the faith. It talks about them who have ministered, who have obtained for themselves a good standing and much bonus in faith. You can just see even such brothers are not just doing business. Look at the first deacons in the church in Jerusalem. They were, look at Stephen. When he was stoned to death, that absolutely amazing message he gave before he died, the knowledge he had. So don't say, I'm here, I'm just a business person. I just clean the hall. Well, yes, you clean the hall, but you need to be a good teacher. Even in when you clean the hall, so you can minister to those saints who are serving with you. It is said that the British Brethren have the best teaching, and the least of their saints are spiritually literate. The least of these brethren, you know, someone who is in a blue collar job or just do things like that, they are able to teach. Unlike in mainline Christianity, I mean, in the early days, they are famous for that. It should be. The Lord's Recovery should be a very knowledgeable place with the truth. And so even you say, I'm not an elder. No, you should be able to do the same thing. Amen. Very important. Okay, all right. So that's that. And by the way, I cannot stress for you how in the book of 1 Timothy, which is about, what is it, about the church life, that teaching is a main point, both positive and negative. Much speaking about the what? Unhealthy teaching and the heretical teaching, and also much talking about the good teaching and the healthy teachings. All right, so we're going to read now chapter 4, verse 6, which I quoted earlier. Let us read. If you lay these things before the brother, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. So here is Paul's instruction to Timothy that he would be such a good minister in a local church, himself being firstly nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching so that he can teach others. So, brothers, I cannot emphasize, if you want to be such a minister, there is no shortcut. No shortcut. If you mean business, to really be a supplier of the saints, you yourself have to know the word. You must yourself be nourished first with the word and with the teaching, especially the teaching of the ministry among us. Otherwise, you're not qualified. I hope, brothers, actually, all this will force many of you to study the word. I really mean it.
Yes.
Now there's a reason to do that.
Yes.
Because you now need to feed. Generally, we have a great library, you know, fantastic. But it's just a library. It's not in you.
Yes.
And there's no shortcut. You need to get into the word.
Amen.
To teach. Okay, then verse 13, huh? Verse 11, charge, what? And teach these things. Verse 13, until I come, attend to public reading and to the exhortation, to the teaching. And then in verse 16, take heed to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear. Of course, in this case, Timothy is not just an ordinary elder. Timothy was actually an apostle himself, and he's an extension of Paul. So he had a particular ministry. But the principle and that Paul asked him to be a pattern to the believers means that Paul expects this to also be likewise as far as the leading ones are concerned. So I hope you brothers would go back and read these epistles and read these verses again and to be touched by it. This will stir up an intention within you, an aspiration within you, and even a commitment in you to become such a brother.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
I'm like that. I just push myself to learn, to study, to speak, to minister, and that kind of exercise pays off.
Amen.
There's no magic, no shortcut. So this I want to get through to you, brothers. No shortcut.
Amen.
You must get yourself into the word and the teaching. Okay,
amen.
All right. So that is chapter 5. I think these are good enough here. We don't have time. Just so many verses, even in chapter 6, about the teaching. Even teaching about money. Yeah, he is here speaking to the rich. He calls it the teaching. He talk about the healthy words. He talk about the teaching which is according to godliness. Who is going to do these teaching? Who is going to give these teaching? Well, the man of God, right? Timothy. And brothers, this is what we need to become. And I hope this training will help to build you up in this way. Now, in 2 Timothy, he talks, I'd like to read some verses that is important to our practice, to your exercise. First, you have this verse in verse 7, chapter 1. For God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and of love and of sober-mindedness. Now, the point here is Timothy, most likely by nature, is timid. You can see through some windows here. Yet, he was the right person. So Paul did what he could in this epistle to strengthen him, to ask him to be empowered, to fulfill his ministry. So the first thing in ministering the word, brothers, is the truth. So it's the word. So you need to know the word. The second thing, important thing in ministry of the word is the spirit. That means a strong, exercise, balanced spirit. Otherwise, you are just a passer on of information. You are just giving people points. No, the real ministry is of the spirit. I'm talking about the ministry of the word. So here, brothers, you need, many of you really need to have a spirit of power. Like me, many of you are born timid, shy, introverted. So you have to overcome those things. Brothers, you have to overcome those things and have another spirit, a ministering spirit, a strong spirit. All right? So this is very, very important. And Brother Lee, work on us on these things. You know, you have been in trainings a long time ago. Brother, release your spirit. Okay, he released it. Try again. Release the spirit. Try again. Not loud enough. Not strong enough. Oh, the brother even got hoarse. Have you been in meetings? Maybe the young ones you have not, but let me tell you, in the early days, that's how Brother Lee trained. So, the strong living spirit is needed, right? Okay, what else? Chapter 2, okay, 1 and 2. You, therefore, my child, be empowered in the grace which is in Christ Jesus, and the things which you have heard from me through many witnesses, these commit to faithful men who will be competent to what? Teach others also. So this is what we're doing here. Again, he's speaking to this shy, timid, cowardly Timothy. Be empowered. I'm going to speak more as we go on in these trainings. Paul says, I do not speak with enticing words or eloquence, but in what? Demonstration of spirit.
Amen.
And of power.
Amen.
Many of your speaking, when I hear, there's no power there.
Amen.
There's no spirit there. So that does not make a proper ministry, right? There are a lot of things to learn in ministering the word. But anyway, here it says, the things you have heard from me, so Paul is the first one to teach Timothy, these commit to faithful men. So this group of men is going to be taught by Timothy. And then these faithful men turn around would be competent to teach others also. You see a cascading step of a continuum of the passing on of the good teaching.
Amen.
Good teaching are passed on. Just like in a family, a good family culture is passed on by the grandpa speaking to the, you know what I mean, the son and then the grandson. And there's a good tradition. So with us, the good teachings is done in the same way.
Amen.
So I am here. You know, Brother Lee taught all of us, right? So now I'm here, so to speak, teaching, and you have to go and teach the saints.
Amen.
And the saints can go and teach others also.
Amen.
The Lord's recovery will become very strong and very literate, very rich. As a result. Okay, so that's another one. Verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God and ashamed, an unashamed workman cutting Amen. Straight the word of the truth.
Amen.
So again, back to being a workman who work in the word of the truth. So, brothers, again, you need to study the truth. All right, let's just go on here. Verse 24. But a slave of the Lord ought not to contend, but be gentle toward all. Again, apt to teach, bearing with wrong. So this is a speaking to Paul, to Timothy and his peers, that he should be, a man of God should be apt to teach. All right, so that's that. And let me see here. Okay, in chapter 4, verse 2, proclaim the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. This proclamation of the word is not just gospel preaching. This is proclaiming the word of the truth, even in the church life, to convict, to rebuke, even to deal with dissenters and opposers in Timothy's case, with all long-suffering and teaching. Okay? Verse 5. But you, be sober in all things, suffer evil, do the work of an evangelist, okay, preaching the gospel, fully accomplish your ministry. Now, I'd like to say a word to you, brothers, and this ministry, obviously, is the ministry of the word to both sinners and believers. And I would say, fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. God has given Timothy a certain ministry. And Timothy, don't shortchange. Don't come short of what has been commissioned to you. Fulfill it. I think elsewhere, Paul said the same thing in another epistle to another worker. Tell so-and-so. Fulfill his ministry. I don't know which epistle was it. But here, talking to Timothy, his son, spiritual son, fully accomplish your ministry. Fully accomplish your ministry. Okay, I will stop here on the reading of the word. I hope just this reading give you an initial idea of the burden of this training
Amen.
Here, and that is to build up proper teachers in the local churches
Amen.
Who are pure, who are faithful,
mm-hmm.
who are knowledgeable.
Amen.
I would say who are skillful. You know, the workmen, you have to be skillful to cut straight the word. Who are skillful to minister truth and life and even things of practice, which is grounded in truth and life to the saints in their family, in the church life. I tell you, the church, your church will be so blessed.
Amen.
I mentioned in 2015 and 16, I said, we are not here to elevate the elders like they are some class or some more VIPs. No, you recall, elders should be slaves, right? Should be nobodies on the one hand. But I also should have mentioned this. I say, blessed is the church with a good set of elders. That church is blessed. Because the churches can only go on as much the elders are going on. The churches reflect the elders. And so in this light, in this fellowship today, when the churches have such faithful men who can, who are apt, meaning they are learned, they are skillful to teach and exhort in this kind of a way, that will greatly, greatly strengthen the saints, develop them, and therefore build up the church. So I hope, brothers, you would take this seriously. For some, I would even venture to say, this may be a new phase of your service.
Amen.
This may usher you into another dimension of service in your local church, if you're serious about it. I certainly hope that is the case. All right, I stop on that fellowship. What is that? Oh, about the ministry. So I'm past, 20 minutes over time. Are you okay? What I mean is, you have a view now of what we're talking about here. All right, I think that's it. Brothers, is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't know, some announcement or something. Oh, here, are we giving this out? Did you get this out? Brother Lee's word on family training. Okay? All right. Okay.
Yeah, I think we'd like to announce the dates of the next two trainings.
Sorry, I'm caught unprepared. The first one is April, the last Saturday, which is the 28th. And then May 19th, and then June 16th. Okay, write them down. It's easy to remember. Next month is the last Saturday, and then the following 2 months is the third Saturday. All right. The place, unless otherwise announced, it will still be in Fremont. We want to do it for 3 months here, and then we will consider moving to another venue. And the registration is $50 per person, and you can go online. Can we go online to pay? Yes. And the website is?
It's churchlifetraining.org. churchlifetraining.org.
churchlifetraining.org. churchlifetraining.org. Amen.
Amen.
And the time will be 9 o'clock, right? And the dress code is, I think you all are doing fine. Okay. Amen.
Amen, brothers.
I think that's all we have.
Just one question, maybe, Brother Monroe, we talked about the other day, is the longevity of it as far as presenting it to the saints. Anyway, you said something about that.
There are 36 lessons. If we tell them you have to commit to 2 years or a year and a half, I think half of the saints may not come. So I think it's good to, thank you, it's good to just break it down and just do 3 months at a time or 6 months at a time, you know, depending. And this way, after that, we can restart and do the next phase and so on. We could go that way. I think,
yeah.